what David of old said. When he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I really had. With all the wealth of the wicked, with all of the things that they have, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to have what they've got and to be with them. First of all, light and darkness hath no fellowship. And what fellowship hath the temples of God with the temples of Belial? So then the Bible said not to be unequally yoked together with the unbeliever, because anytime you agree with the unbeliever, you're in trouble. A lot of times people don't understand my outlook, because I say that you cannot link up with some man just because he's got money and you got a vision and you want to put something into practice, and you don't have the money, so you're going to link up with the man that's got the money. See, you're spoiled to begin with. The blessing of the Lord is not on you to begin with. That's the end of it. I say that you cannot link up with your children and do that. When those children become of age, after that, you cannot link up with them. If they are unbelievers, if you do, then you are spoiled and rejected of God. Someone would say, well, no, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. Well, it's okay. All of us have a right to believe what we want to, but I'm a minister of God to tell you that's the way it is, and that's the way it'll be in the day of judgment. So someone said, well, you can't tell me. I have the right to bless. I have the right to curse. I have the right to remit your sins. I have the right to retain your sins. I'm the minister of God. I bear not the sword in vain, but I'm set to execute judgment upon them that do evil. And God said, cursed is the man that holdeth back his sword from blood. So I do have a right to do the things he tells me to do. He that God sendeth will speak God's word, and those things that I say, that's God's word. So, will ye not be afraid? Oh, someone said, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of anybody, but the Bible said, will ye not be afraid? Seeing that he beareth not the sword in vain, but is set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. He is God's revenger. And even if it was nothing more than a prophet that came by, if the prophet prophesies something and it comes to pass, the Bible should be afraid of that prophet, fear that prophet. Because someone would say, well, why? Because he's got your life in his hand. He can say, as Elijah, let fire get these 50. And again, let fire get these 50. And he can say, even the more if it's a son of God, as to thou shalt be blind for a season, or Ananias and Sapphira, he announced and proclaimed their eternal doom and damnation. So then God sent us, he sends us his word, like the songwriter said, on the wings of a snow-white dove, gentle and sweet and peaceful and loving. But for them that would be contentious, and for them that will not fear, and for them that wants to face the situation as a man to man, or woman to woman, or as to flesh to flesh, then it's a different setting altogether. You fellowship the sheriff, you fellowship the president, they're just people. And you eat and drink with them, and you dine with them, and it's just people, and you enjoy it. But if you are the wrong kind of people and you act up, it doesn't take long to recognize the sheriff is a different person, and it doesn't take long to realize there's something that you was not aware of, and just because he had his badge off, that didn't mean anything. And it doesn't take long if you fellowship a king and you get out of order to know that he's in control. So then we have to remember that God is in his temple, and the Bible said, let all the world keep silent. We come to worship the Lord, to be taught of how to behave ourselves in the house of the living God. And to fear and reverence and submit ourselves unto the minister who watches for your soul and who must answer to God for your soul, longing to present you, as Paul said, body, soul, and spirit, blameless before God, that you might receive the full reward, taking you on to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. And you have to submit yourself one to another if it is the membership of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. For who is your master other than the body of the Lord Jesus? And who is he that owneth all things and is in control of all things other than he that is the Lord Jesus? And if he be sitting beside you, then you have to submit yourself to him. And not only that, but you have to esteem him better than yourself. And not only that, but you have to look on the things of another, and you have to seek the welfare of another. And someone would say, but I'm also the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I esteem myself to be so. Then are ye nothing, because you're not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are nothing. Therefore, you are less, far less than a dog in the sight of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, because a dog is made to be what God has made him to be. And you failed your purpose in life, and you're not even what you was intended to be. So then are you nothing? And Jesus will look upon you as he did Judas, as to Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, or I've chosen 12 and one of you is a devil. And after a while, he'll give you the sop, and out into the night you'll go. And when you compare yourself as one to another, as to think of what you know and who you are and how you look and your appearance and your abilities and your talents and your skills, as to disdain another in your eyes, as to look down and to see them of less degree, then are ye a devil. And God will give you the sop at the right time. And you will enter into your intellectual mind of darkness to go out and hang yourself, as we say the old saying, give them enough rope and they'll hang themselves. And you'll go out and you'll do that thing and realize that it was the spirit of Satan that caused you to try to match wits with one another as to your strength, as to your intelligence, as to your ability, as to who you are, as to what you are, as to answer haughty, as the rich doth, or whatever it might be, as to esteeming things in this world, supposing that worldly gain is godliness. The Bible said, from such turn away, for you brought nothing into the world, and it's for sure you're going to take nothing out. So then the only way is, as Jesus, our example, who was the head of the body, that bowed down before Peter and washed his feet. Peter said, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. He said, if I don't, you'll have no part with me. So we come into the house of the Lord to know how to behave ourselves in the house of the Lord, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. And we come into the house of the Lord to hear God speak. And the Bible said it shall not be an individual that speak, but it shall be God speaking from within his holy temple to let all the world keep silent. And even down to the little babes, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass that they all shall be taught of God. For out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, of such that ye are before the great men of this world. And yet he said, out of your hearts I'll perfect praise. Well, anyway, this makes us to understand that we come here for a purpose. We come here to understand. We don't just come to church. We don't just come to be seen. We're not moving toward the flesh as to an exuberance of being in the upper echelon, but rather to condescend to men of low estate. Or we're not trying to match wits to prove that we are the elite. And we are not proud and full of pride as to be subjects of the king of the bottomless pit that the Bible said is the king of pride. And we are not striving as to overcome as to one another as to flesh and blood, because we're not wrestling against one another and competing with one another as all of this stuff that you see in California and Atlanta with this racial strife and all this problem. Those people are of the devil. They are sons and daughters of darkness. And Jesus said, the will of the devil of their father they will do, because they are of the devil. Like one of them, I understand, just spoke maybe from the radio somewhere and made the statement, said, This is our opportunity. It said we sought opportunity. We was looking for it. Now we've got it, and we're not going to stop, which means the voice of the devil. All the ways of God are peace, and the Bible said to pursue a path of peace. And he that keepeth his mind stayed upon Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace, for he is the Prince of Peace. And let this mind of peace be in you that was also in the Prince of Peace. So it's very obvious confusion is of the devil, and anything outside of peace is of the devil, and it's the motivation of the devil. So those people are of the devil, and they are sons of the devil, and his will they're going to do. And the whole thing is not as to a racial conflict and a racial strife. Anybody caught in racial strife and conflict is of the devil. Anybody that favors a color is of the devil. Anybody that favors a nationality above another nationality is of the devil. Anybody that favors any people above another people as to color or as to what they are is of the devil. Can't you imagine having five children and one of them's got red hair and one of them's got black hair, one's got blue eyes, the other's got brown eyes, and you say, you little brown-eyed devil, I love this little blue-eyed darling. Can't you imagine doing that? Someone would say, well, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I'm talking about God and his people. Who made the white man, and who made the black man, and who made the red man, and who made the yellow man, and who made the lizard, and who made the elephant, and who made the lion, and who made the snake? You know, people, they'll beat a snake on the head and they'll just have a fit. They'll run over him, they'll beat him on the head. Where I come up, you know, as a boy, we plowed up snakes all the time. That place, snakes everywhere. And perhaps you heard about the fire set when I was a little boy. Unintentionally, I set a fire. I set a fire intentionally, but unintentionally, I didn't mean to burn down the whole countryside. But it happened. But anyway, I'm just saying that to say this. There's a lot of snakes that are friendly snakes. They eat bugs, all kinds of things, and they do things to your benefit, and they're not poisonous. And there are certain things that's in the insect world that's to your benefit. See, and man in his ignorance, he goes about doing what he does, you know, because he thinks he's brilliant. And we could just go on just talking and not even preach a sermon on just the conditions of today as to world affairs. Someone would say, well, I ain't having nothing to do with a snake. Well, Israel, the only way that they could be saved was to look on the snake. And the only way you can be saved is to look back on the serpent that hang on the pole. And that's the only way you can be saved. Now, some of us say, well, I don't believe that. Well, it's okay. Like I said, every man, the song we say sometimes, to each his own. You look on what you want to look on. You look on the dollars, and you look on the jewelry, and you look on the gold and the bracelets and the gold chains you put around your neck and the Cadillacs and all the glitter and glamour of the world, of your face and of the lipstick and of the beads and the earrings and of the fancy clothing and all the things that you want to look on. I'll look back on the serpent that was lifted up for my sins and smitten at Calvary. You know, Jesus, God, having chosen the foolish and the base things of the world to confound people who think they know something, bringing to naught the mighty and lifting up that which just seems to be nothing. As a matter of fact, Paul said less than nothing. And yet he became the overseer of the Gentile church. See, there is such a thing, as my granddad used to say, as a snake that you don't want to kill. He said, he's a king snake. He said, you don't want to kill him. He said, because he is your protection. And my grandpa always let the king snake live. And he said he had seen them when a snake would be coming up the pathway. And he has seen the king snake just swallow him up just like that. And the king snake is none poisonous, and that's what it represented when Jesus was lifted up as to that impenetrable, brazen one that the poison could not touch. And because of that, he swallowed up all the poison and he swallowed up all the evil and then was lifted up between heaven and earth, saying, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So he made a gateway into heaven. And again, I say that God hath made us, as to the yellow man, as to the red man, as to the black man, as to the white man. And God has made the creatures. And God hath no favoritism. Someone would say, well, I believe that he favors the yellow man more. And I'm sure the yellow man thinks that. And as it was the German, Hitler felt like that they were the great nation. And they were the elite among the people. So he was going to make that mighty generation of the great, and was confounded. Super race, he called it. And the white man, he thinks he's the greatest. And the red man, he thinks he's the greatest. You know, but the truth is that, as Webster gives it, as to a human body, it's called a human person. And the Bible said, God hath no respect to a human person. So that means that you are nothing but just another pebble on the beach. And sometimes the male thinks that he's superior because he's a male. And the female, she thinks she's superior because she's got the beauty. And to God, they're just another pebble on the beach. The rich is just another pebble on the beach. The poor is just another pebble on the beach. And your life does not consist of the abundance of the things that you possess, as you will learn when you meet the grim reaper. So then we're just down here, and he is the big boss, as we say, and he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's got control, and he don't care whether you got a bracelet on your arm or a gold chain around your neck, or whether you come with a PhD, or whether you just fish for a living. It doesn't matter with him. As a matter of fact, he chose some ignorant fishermen so they could get the glory. Because if he'd have chosen the Bible scholars, whereas the Bible should not many mightier call, he'd have never got the glory, because somebody said, well, he went to college and he knows it and he knows all about it. And so there would have been no glory. Somebody would have said, well, he's the man for the job. But it's kind of like Kennedy when he went into office. He said, I'm the man for the job. I don't know of anybody that can do a better job. But Reader's Digest said before the thing was over, he had changed his mind. And before the end of the trail, they had blown his brains out. So he learned that God rules in the affairs of men, that God creates the good and God creates the evil, and God works all things after the counsel of his own will, and God lifts up one and God puts down another, and can evil come to a city? And I have not sinned, it saith the Lord. So we say, what's happened to California? God has sent some evil. Why did he send some evil to California and to Atlanta, Georgia, and the different places? Why has he sent evil into a home or a city? Why has he done that? Because the people say, away with religion. I'm tired of religion. I don't want religion. This is my life. I'll do what I want to with my life. But yet the Bible says that you've sinned your days of grace away, and you're condemned, and you're smitten, and you're doomed, and you're damned. And the only ones that escape that through Christ, as being bought with a price. And when you're bought with a price, then you're not your own, but you're to glorify God. And you don't have your own to go out and have businesses and money and prestige and do all the things you want to, as having a career and whatever. You have no say in the matter. Someone would say, well, I think I have a partial say. You don't have any say. The Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye should let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, that didn't have time for businesses. He didn't have time for fellowship with relatives. He didn't have time to make money. He didn't have time to project himself and have himself a great ministry. All he had was one thought. I do always the things that please my Heavenly Father. And as to my body, this is what I think of my body. I'm going to give you an example. You should die for my pleasure, and not as to blow your brains out, but a living sacrifice, as to a daily surrender and conformity, as to self-denial, equipping yourself for the mind to suffer and following in my steps. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you don't make any allowance for the world at all. The Bible said the world and all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes and the world and the lust thereof passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then what allowance do we have as to the rich young ruler? He said, I'm very religious. I've kept the commandments from my youth up. Jesus said, yet likest thou one thing. And he could have said, what is that? And Jesus could have said, being born again. And if you ain't born again, you don't ever even see the kingdom of God. But Jesus said it in another way, because he had not paid the price for sin as to sight, and yet he had already, before the world ever was, in the foreknowledge of God, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But he did say to the rich young ruler, he looked on him and loved him. It was no respect of person. Yet likest thou one thing? And the man said, and what do I lack? He said, go thy way and sell all that you have and give to the poor. Take up your cross. Because if you sell all that you've got, it's for sure that you're going to have a cross. He said, and then follow me. Turn right to somebody when they said, what must I do to enter into life? He said, keep the commandments. Isn't that something? And the rich young ruler said, but I have done that. I have done that. Now, if he had done that, why did Jesus not give him eternal life? He didn't keep it. Like Paul said, you have the law and none of you keep it. And everything is turned into a joke as to the Gentiles mocking you. See, and it's a self-righteous, self-esteem thing. So he had not kept it. Jesus was the one that kept it. And yet likest thou one thing, and what is that? I am the one that kept the law. I am the one that was slain for sin. I must enter into your heart. And if you have not my spirit, you're none of mine. For life is in the Son, and I'm the Son, and unless I'm in your heart, you don't have eternal life. Because I'm the one that keeps the commandments, and you don't. And I've kept them in your behalf. See, and on we could go. But I'm only trying to tell you this to let you know where we're standing. Who then is the victor as to all of this rubbish, all of this foolishness, all of this conglomeration of confusion? Who then is the victor, and who's going to be the winner of all of them that's striving and fighting? Not any of them. Someone would say, well, can you prove that by the Bible? That's the absolute in the earth. There is nothing else. It's the only history that's ever been proven to be right. Even science and even your educational system, which sprang out of Egypt, has to go back to it. I've checked it out, and they can't go any further than Egypt. And then they relate to the Bible because they don't know anything. See, can it be proven? Can the things that we're saying, can they be proven? They can be proven by the Bible. Who is the victor then? Not any of them. Why? Because they're all blind. If they were not blind, they would pursue a path of peace. They would listen to the minister. And if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. And it's for sure that Satan is ignorant. And he's blind and he cannot see. And he is a ruler of the darkness because he is blind. And a person that's blind is in darkness. And that's their world. And he's the one that's leading them. And they'll all fall into the ditch. So then they don't have a chance. We're children of light. And as it was in the days of Gideon, when Gideon placed them around this great ravine, this great valley, gave them their little candle, and they covered it to where it couldn't be seen. And he waited till dark and waited till the night. And that's the way this world is. This is the world of darkness. And Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, and the old candle lighter, the lamp lighter of the night. He lit the lamp one by one, and even to the street lamps. And here we are doing the same thing. When he went away, he said, "Ye are the light of the world." It's the scientists speaking of the candle power, and one candle power, and another candle power, and on we go as to, we say, a collection, or collectively speaking, to the brighter light, and our day is growing brighter in the natural light all the time. So obviously something in the spiritual world is taking place, because all of the invisible things of the Lord from the creation of the world understood by the things that appear. So the light's growing brighter and brighter. Every day the light is growing brighter, moving on toward the perfect day of the day star dawning within your heart, to bring us into the day of his rest. And this is what we're trying to do, is to light the lamps. And when Gideon had everything just right, had the people around the valley, God had told him what to do, and he was outnumbered. All he did was say, "Every man stand in his place at the right time. When I give the command, I want the little clay pitcher to be broken. And when the little clay pitcher is broken, the light will shine." And so he waited till their eyes got adjusted to the dark. Right at this moment, gross darkness covering the people as in the end time, which is shown by the rise up of even the racial strife. All of a sudden, while their eyes are adjusted as to the dilation, they are adjusted to the frolics and to the lust and to the covetousness of their own human thoughts, even as some of you that's sitting here this morning right here. You are adjusted to that. But just at this time, the midnight cry on its way, and those that are listening that have all in their lamps rising up to light the little candle and to break this little old clay pitcher that's made out of dust as to the human body, and all of a sudden out of it the brightness of the mind of Christ that excels the professors and the intellectual of today. And it is so bright and so fantastic with the revealing and the revelation that even the religious group, whether it's charismatic or whatever, as to denominationalism, is completely swallowed up as the light just moves the veil of their intellectual human reasoning and their egos to raise themselves up as great men of renown and to be movie stars and to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, as to have some personal ambition in life, as to a religious attire, or as to the natural way of life, as to the upper echelon. See, and all of a sudden the light shines. And what happens? The world is gone. Because with the brightness of his coming, as to the dawning of that day star, even was in your heart to be revealed as Christ to this heavenly treasure that's in the earthen vessels to be made manifest in your mortal genes. When it comes, there'll be no more world for them. For all that they are is intellectual children of darkness, and that's why they follow the old tree of education and understanding and diplomacies of the world, measure themselves by themselves. They're not wise and seeking honor one of another. The Bible said, how can they have the honor that comes from God? So, as it was said in the early church, when they pounced on him and said, you can't talk in this man's name, he said, judge within yourselves as to whether we should please man or God. And this is where we're at. The little clay pitcher is out to break. And people are frustrated and they're torn up. And they don't know what to do because this light is beginning to break forth. And they're literally confounded because with all of their religious professors and all of these other things, they can't figure out where this come from. And as the well as was dug, as the last well was the best well of all, as the wine, it was the best wine of all, as to that which was last. So just saying those little things here as by way of thought, it's kind of like yesterday. And sometimes I talk with you, I come up here as a father in the gospel. Paul said, I've begotten you in the gospel. And I talk to you a little bit about things, and sometimes I preach to you. But I come here And I make mention of some things as yesterday when I sat down and a group of brethren gathered around us. And things are always happening. See, we have to remember, when I come to stand here, things are happening. And someone would say, well, I know because I see. Maybe, and maybe not. If you see with your natural eyes, then you see the natural me. And that's all you ever see. And if I see with my natural eye, I see the natural you. And that's all I ever see. So then, that means that you are looking at the dead. And I am looking at the dead. And especially if I behold those that are in the things of the world, as to the love of the world within them, the love of the Father is not there, as to that world within them, the mind there. See, I'm looking at them that are dead while they live. But anyway, I was just saying something yesterday. See, things are happening. Wherever you come, things are happening. There is a natural world, there's a spiritual world, there's a natural people, there's a spiritual people. There is a heavenly people, there is an earthly people, and this earthly people is around God's footstool. For earth is his footstool, and heaven is his throne, and a cattle of 1,000 hills my Lord already owns. The songwriter said, and what can I give him? For all that I've had was his from the start. And as the other writer said, things that I have, they're not mine. They're just given to me just to brighten my life. But they're not really mine. But to see if I'm going to be a steward over them as in this world of vanity. And on we could go. But nevertheless, so speaking of these things, see, do we really see? Having eyes as to whether they be eyes of understanding to look at me naturally, with eyes of natural eyes or eyes of understanding that can comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and the length of this mighty light that shines in the midst of this intellectual darkness, as to great light having sprung up to them that set in the regions of the shadow of death. And as it was said, now the true light shineth and the day star is now dawning. More and more, as the songwriter said, O little Bethlehem, unto the perfect day. So then, do you really see? You couldn't possibly see unless you was a child of God. The Bible said, anoint thine eyes with eyesight that you might see. For you couldn't possibly see. For the Bible said, the wicked shall not see when good cometh. For Lucifer, Satan, even the god of this world of whom you serve, being his subjects and being children of the devil, the Bible said he hath blinded your eyes that you cannot see when good comes. You cannot comprehend. You cannot have the spirit of revelation. You cannot understand. For the Bible said the wicked shall not understand, but the righteous shall understand. So there's no way that you can understand. Therefore, all you have is your intellectual. And as I told the brethren yesterday when we sat in a little group, I said, well, our problem is we're like little kittens. The little kitten, he has his mind. But as to the confines and the radius, as extensively speaking, he doesn't see anything because he is within the confines of that which he was made to be. So all he can think is from point A to point B, and so it is with you as a human being. Though we seem to be a person of broad scope, yet in all reality, our little confine is there. And the confine of that, one would say, well, Brother Pike, in my confine, I see far. But really, in your confine, you don't see it all because you are blind and you are a creature of darkness and you are only in hallucinations and as a blind man with his imagination, which you're commanded to cast down to become a child of light because you don't need imagination in the world of light. And yet your world is vanity. The preacher said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. All is vanity and vexation of the world of spirit. So then, are we what we think we ourselves to be? Only through vanity. We are in deception, and we are self-esteemed, and we are carnal-minded, filled with the exuberance of self-advantage toward a human goal in the ultimatum of all that we're going to do. It all centers around us. It is for the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. For the Bible said those that are in darkness are a generation of vipers, as in Adam all die. And so then they are put upon their belly, and all of their labor is for their mouth and for their belly, because they are the serpent, and from the dust they art, unto the dust they shall return. And they are constantly upon their belly, and all of their belly, all of their labors for their belly, and dust shall they eat all the days of their life. And that is where the Spirit of the Lord come in, as David smote the giant with that little sling of faith, as we say, in that little rock of the word is to the symbolics. So then we're out to get the giant. And who is the giant except he that hovers over us, that rises to the world of dignitaries and the things of the world? And indeed, among them there are some true dignitaries, and we shouldn't speak evil of them. No power ordained but that of God. We'll be subject to it. See, but the thing is, there are those that are lofty and high, and Satan has climbed up into the upper lintel, and even making his nest among the stars, as the thing of Apollyon, to be cast down to hell. So then, in this intellectual thrust and striving, as Einstein, they unlocked the heavens. But then when it all is finished, they got no farther than that which is still finite, and reaching the end of that, as to it would take hours to explain what we're trying to say, then here we are, and there is a new dawning, and there is something on the horizon. And this is the bad part, is though we're here, and though this thing is right, and though it would take many hours to have you patiently wait and sit and listen, to absorb like children all day long, or college students day after day. See, what you're not going to do, and what you don't expect to do, and what you never judge, even as to the symbolics, as to college or school, that if you ever get this, you're going to do it the same way. That's your symbol, but running in and having our little religious gathering. See, you never get it. But the thing I'm saying is that in the midst of all of this, Christ is revealed, and he is here. And someone would say, but Brother Pike, all we see is each other, and all we see is the preacher. Then what are you saying? What am I saying? Jesus said the Jews missed their visitation. In the day of the visitation, they did not recognize it. And so he said, your houses are left unto you desolate. And someone would say, well, what does he mean, your house desolate? Well, they probably got plenty in the house, furniture, and plenty to eat and whatever. And they do. But he was speaking of the temple, the body, the physical part. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They are barren, they are dry, they're without him, they're empty. They've only got their human reasoning, and they're dead. And my, I wish we could talk of the many hundreds and thousands of wonderful revelations in that great is the mystery. But nevertheless, what then are we saying? What are we talking about? Someone said, well, you would get over people's head, Brother Pike, the way you're talking. Then how is it that Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, I perfected praise? And how is it that the babes praised him when he went into the temple, when the great wise men were confounded and they didn't even recognize him as God? So, then what do we say? We say God is in his holy temple. God is in his holy temple. Let all the world keep silent. For as the scripture has said, be still, even in your spirit, and know that I'm God. Because God is dove-like and he's very gentle. But we'd rather dance and shout and scream and holler. We'd rather have ball games. We'd rather do all the things that brings the emotional impacts to the world. To be excited because Satan is saying, look at me, look at me. Ah, look at me. You know, and this crazy foolishness of mankind, even in the churches. Whereas there is a joy that's of the Lord, that you may dance, you may shout, you may praise the Lord. The exuberance that my cup runs over and your body may feel this wonderful quickening that raised up Christ from the dead, and you may want to praise God, but not all the screaming and hollering and going on that the preacher don't get to preach, and you had such a wonderful service because the Spirit of the Lord come down. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me you don't believe the Spirit came down? Of course it came down. It's been here all the time. The blood is on the seat of atonement. You can scream and holler anytime you want to, like my Cindy that went and got her eye operated on. She has had bad visions. I didn't even know anything about it until just little while back, and I kept telling her she's going to wear contacts and she ruined her eyes, and had bad visions. She went up to have the operation. The man done a little simple thing that we don't have time to explain this morning, and all of a sudden her eye, one of her eyes was 20/20, and she said, Daddy, I cried and I hollered and I praised the Lord and I done all kinds of things. Said, I now discovered a world, which this has great, great meaning, even that it happened, and she's going back for the other one. Great meaning that some of you perceive, maybe some of you don't. But anyway, what is it? Something is taking place. And I would say it, but maybe the Lord don't want me to say it. Maybe he doesn't want me to say it. But anyway, it's so anyhow. That was a visitation to the Jews, and they didn't get it. And now the Gentiles are having a visitation. And during the time of this visitation, blood is on the seat of atonement, so you can holler and the Spirit of the Lord's there. But that doesn't do anything for the inner man as it was when Jesus sighed in his spirit and the mighty power of God surged through his body when he said, Lazarus, come forth. As I said, the problem is you have received the thing intellectually. I'll be talking here, preaching here. I'll be sitting around with a group of people talking. And somebody is filled with ambition. And they're so sure that they're getting this thing. And I think, my, what a mess you're making. What a terrible conglomeration of a mess you're in. And you're so overconfident, so self-willed, so much naturally, and such a drive, having projected your ignorance through the years, and now you're doing the same thing as in a religious thing. And then when the conversation is over, even during the conversation, I'll pick up a spirit and a spirit and a spirit. And then here's two or three that has picked up identically the same thing that I picked up in their spirit, to establish it in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and after service, here they'll come to me. And I can't say no, because if God reveals it to them, how can I say no? Then I would be a liar if I said no. They say, Brother Pike, you know, that really grieved me, or that really tore me up because of that thing that I saw. And they saw exactly the truth. But then there is something in our midst. As yesterday, there was questions I asked, and we talked about those things, as we always do, and questions that are hard, things that are hard to be answered, things that there's no answer for, things that I never heard anybody answer, never, in all of my ministry. But yet the Holy Spirit answers it. When you go to God, he giveth wisdom to all. Just simply give it to everyone that will come and ask him. As long as we're not in a self-esteem, a self-exuberance, a self-drive, as to still having that old self that wants to be something, to be preeminent, to lord over God's people. And when it's the Holy Spirit, as it was through the body of Jesus, just beckoning to the people, come out of the world, come out from among them, be a separate people, follow me and I'll make you, Jesus said. So, in this, you know, things come up. Questions are asked. And sometimes, as it was as of yesterday, I'll get a paper up here, like as the service of today, and I don't answer the question. And then it might be in the little group that were sitting around that I failed to answer the question. And here, I would. When I say I would, I can't. But he can. Like the song I wrote in Oklahoma years ago, I remember there, when I was fasting and seeking the Lord, and the Lord gave me a song, I can't, but he can. And see, I can't. Jesus said of myself, I can do nothing, but through him that strengthens me, I can do all things. I don't know anything of myself, but in him, I have an unction from the Holy One that I should know all things. And all things that's been revealed to him has been revealed to me. They're given to me. For all things that my Father hath made known unto me, I've made known unto you. As whatever he is, so am I in him. And whatever he hath, we're heirs and joint heirs. We are the same. It's all mine. As he overcame and sat down in the throne, I overcame and I sat down in the throne. And someone would say, well, how do you get that? That's what the Bible says. He that overcometh, I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna, and he shall sit down in the throne with me. So, did we do it? We did do it. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so today we're not in the earth. He hath chosen us out of the earth and hid us with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And the Bible said heaven is his throne. And earth is his footstool. And all of them that are in the world of that footstool are the serpent. But all of them that are in heaven, that is the throne. That's the man-child, even at the birth, to be born again, immediately caught up to the throne. And being bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, then there we sit upon the throne. And our life as to the life, which is our spiritual life, hid in the life of Christ, caught away, taken back in that body at the right hand of the Father, projected through that blood into the membership of the earth as to his body. And there we sit. And when he, our life appears, Paul said, we'll be changed in a glorious moment in the twinkling of an eye from this little dusty tabernacle to that great wonderful tabernacle. So Jesus preached to them and they said, but Jesus, we don't believe you. We're Moses' disciples. He said, if you'd have been Moses' disciples, then you would have believed me because Moses spoke of me. And some said, we believe in our father Abraham. He said, if you'd have been Abraham's children, you would have believed me and you would have heard me. Said, because Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced to see it. And they said, well, you're not yet 50 years old. And you say, Abraham saw your day. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And then they sought to kill him. And they said, you've got a devil. And he said, I don't have a devil. And he preached to them, and they said, we be not children of fornication. God is our father. Jesus said, if God was your father, you would love me because I came from God. And I came not of myself, but because he sent me. And I came into the earth to bear witness of the truth, even when Pilate said, what is truth? So having the spirit of truth to come into our heart, then we know truth. We recognize truth. Our eyes comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, the greatness of this wonderful revealed truth. And when they said something to Jesus, you make yourself a god. He said, is it not written in the scriptures, I've called ye gods? If then they to whom the scriptures came, they are called gods, why do you say I'm blaspheming because I say I am the Son of God? Didn't the Bible say, as we say, that it teaches that Adam was the Son of God, which has to do with the great, great revelation? And when they talked to Jesus, and they talked about the greatness of the prophets and them that had gone by, and the mighty Abraham and Elijah, the mighty Moses, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, there is one here that's greater than Solomon, greater than Abraham, greater than Moses, as we would say. So then a greater than Solomon is here. And one would say, well, Brother Pike, what was he talking about? What do you think he was talking about? One would say, well, I think that Jesus was speaking of himself. And when he was here, I really believe that that was true. Well, if that is true, then the question arises, is he the resurrection and the life? And did he stand in the midst of the candlesticks and say, I once was dead, but I'm alive forevermore? And did he say, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them? And did he not say that ye are the temples of the living God? And if it was the Christ that gave that testimony, then who is it today that speaks to you? Let's give the Lord a hand. So, we know then they shall all be taught of God. And this is why I'm here. I want to be taught of God. All right. Let's don't miss the day of our visitation. Let's read from chapter 6 in St. Luke. My heart is overflowing with the great, wonderful revelation of the Son of God this morning. And I have much to say, and yet I have nothing to say, in that it is him that saith, and as Jesus said, it is not the one that comes as to minister to you that doeth the work, but the Father within. And the words, as they said, when no man ever spake like this man. In chapter 6, in the 20th verse, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, and they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures, by the way, and there is no living minister that ever lived or shall ever live that will ever open the scriptures. Only the Holy Spirit can open the scriptures. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. It doesn't sound at all like the ministry of today, and the great things of today, and the great television stars of today, and the great church of today, does it? Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for reward, behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. See, someone would say, well, what are you saying, Brother Pike? He explains it. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. And what was it when the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell and he looked across the great gulf of that bottomless pit and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom? And when the rich man begged for just one drop of water to cool his parching tongue, said, I'm tormented in these flames. And what was it Abraham said when he said, son, in your lifetime you had the good things, and Lazarus likewise the bad. Now, Lazarus is confident thou art tormented. And besides that, there's a gulf that we cannot cross even if we wanted to come. We cannot go from here to there, and you cannot come from there to here. And that's when he pleaded. You've heard people say, well, I'll have plenty of company if I go to hell, but he didn't want any company. He said, send someone to tell my brothers not to come to this awful place. Abraham, having passed over, even though his body lays over yonder, we've been there and seen the body, but Abraham, in glory, he said, they have the law, they have the prophets, they have all these things, as we say. Said, and if they won't receive that, they wouldn't believe one, though he raised from the dead. Whereas there's been cases where they said it's been so, even Lazarus raised from the dead, even Dorcas, but they still didn't believe their testimony. Anyway, if you don't believe the preacher, you're not going to believe anybody. So when you see somebody full of sores and sick, you disdain them and you go by, especially as to the Africans. No water to drink and no food and all the horror and the sorrow. And you judge them to be the worst of sinners and people that are suffering with the problems of life as to sickness. And you think if they were right with God, they wouldn't have those diseases. But yet it said Lazarus was full of sores. And he was at the rich man's gate. And the rich man obviously didn't have any sores. But when the thing changed around, it wasn't the rich man that God favored, because your life doesn't consist of the abundance of the things you possess. But it was Lazarus that was so righteous. And it was Lazarus, in spite of his sickness, that were so wonderful in the sight of God. And it was God had suffered the evil to come to Lazarus to judge the rich man. And it is the poor of this world that are hungry. The Bible said, and the poor shall never cease out of your land. It is the poor of this world that you neglect. As to salvation, the Bible said, and this is pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father, is that you don't be so greedy with everything that you've got that you can come. As some of you would dare not come to men's meeting and share a little bit, you've cut that off altogether, but you're ready to come to church and get everything that God has. You want everything that God's got. You don't want to give God nothing. You don't want to share your mind, your time, your substance, nothing that you have with God. But he said, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is not being a movie star on television as a preacher, or having a fine church, or being the elite and being the outstanding ones in the community, as to mix with sports and all of this prestige that is of the devil. Someone would say, you don't have the right to say that, Brother Pike. Well, if I don't have the right to say it as a minister, who has the right? And besides that, if what I'm saying isn't right, why does the Bible speak of it in such a way? For the Bible said the world loveth its own, and indeed they're loved by the world, but it said here you're hated and you're despised and you're rejected and your name is cast out as evil. And the Bible said they'll even kill you and think they do God a service, and they'll deliver you up before the magistrates to accuse you, which they're doing. And it's narrowing down more and more, and as the blood comes off the seat of atonement, you're going to see it more and more. So, then, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father isn't there. So we see God doesn't look at things the way that we look at things. He doesn't consider things the way that we consider things. He thinks of things altogether different. It's altogether different as to his views and his outlook on people. Now, someone says, well, that doesn't leave much place, Brother Pike, for a human being. It doesn't leave any place for a human being. Jesus cut him off at Calvary. He's a beast from his birth. The spirit of foolishness is bound even in the heart of the child. And as in the Old Testament, when God took the mother and daddy and put them in the pit, even at the time of the deception of Daniel to try to cause problems that day to deceive the king, God had them to put the little ones in, because as the big snakes, so were the little ones snakes. And he eradicated altogether. Someone would say, well, that seemed cruel to me. That family and putting them little ones in there and you calling them snakes. Well, this probably will sound worse. All of the families of the earth are snakes. All of the families of the earth. But them that are children of heaven, and them that are elect, and them that are foreknowledge, and was foreordained unto eternal life, is not a generation of vipers or snakes. But they are the beloved children of God. And all of the snakes is around his footstool. And the Bible said we would step on the head, and that we would smite the head, and we would bruise the head, which means their old intellectual system of the ungodly things of their government and their schooling and everything else that is in the world. And it will pass away, and they will pass away. Someone says, I think you're talking about me, Jesus said. And they perceived that he spake of them. That he spake of them. So it sounds like your perception is right. Now, so then he said, fear not, little flock. And he said, when they come to present themselves as the children of the Lord, then came the intellectual scholars of religion and their strong reasoning and their money and their confidence and their convenience and all of their greedy, greedy way of life as to selfish gain, having taken everything to themselves and then wanting to share what the children of God had. Like the story of the little red hen, didn't want to do nothing but wanted everything. That's us. We're together. We're one. That's us. But so busy they were with the passions of the world, as we would say, and so busy getting their gain, and so busy reproaching the gospel and doing the things of arrogance and evil and selfishness that would reproach, and looking all the time, every man to his own quarter, for his own gain, and every man running to his own house, whether religious or whatever, had his own plans, their own plans, going to do their own thing, having that little intellectual mind of that little thing like the kitten, as we say, and within the confines of the radius, in this case, not a kitten, but a snake. Let's give the Lord a hand. Someone would say, Brother Pike, do you liken people to snakes? No. We're talking about snakes. Let's give the Lord, not people. So, when we come down to that, someone would say, do you mean to tell me that you compare a human being to a snake as that ignorant thing crawling on his belly? If that is an ignorant thing, why did Jesus use the terms to be wise as the serpent? Let's give the Lord a hand. So you can tell where all the education and the wisdom and all the Einsteins are. And you can tell a person, the child is known by the doings of all of their frolics, of all of their rock and rolls, as this group that we spoke of that's so outstanding called the Power Group. And they go and they are supposed to be Christians and they strip their clothing off and they flex their muscles. They say, love Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God. And as it was said, as the report we got the other day, as to a certain place over in Hawaii, said even the big boys can't draw people in Hawaii. But when the Power Group comes, so they go out to hear. Someone would say, Brother Pike, you mean that slop and that garbage? That's not sloppy garbage. When you speak the Word of God, the Word of God's the Word of God, whether Satan, as to when he quoted it to Jesus or whatever. But they do change it into a lie as to their own personal advantage. And the stripping off is garbage. And the old beast is showing himself. All of that is garbage. And as the Bible said, the swine, which they are, as Jesus said, and dogs, they do lap their vomit and they do wallow in the mire. And the Jews do that. And the Jews counted them to be so. But what the Jews didn't understand was that they were dogs and swine too. That God's no respecter of person. All of them was just one. And Paul said, I prove that all of you are under sin. That he that is a Jew was not a Jew. It's that person that Christ is in. That's the true Jew. And he said, peace be upon the true Israel of God. As to the real church of the living God. And there can't be but one Jesus, which is the church, as to the membership of which he himself is the head. And there can't be but one that dwells in the light, as to that revelational understanding and that light that's hid behind the veil, that's ready to break forth to cause this vanity world to dissipate and these vanity creatures to dissipate. Jesus, that one light, her light, the light most precious, descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for a husband. Jesus, the head of the many-membered body of that child that does not dwell in the earth as to the footstool, as we crush the head of the old serpent, and as it strikes at our soul, in that if that's our footstool, then that's where the sole of the foot is as to the preparation of the gospel. And he's striking at the soul to kill. But we are there that dwell in heaven, filled with the light, and he can't get near our soul. So he strikes at our heel because we crush his head with our heel. And our heel is at the footstool, but our soul is caught away. And he can't get to the foundation of our life. So, as to the victim, I made the statement again. We may have racial prejudice and be fools. We may have racial strife and be fools. There are black, white, yellow, red, Spanish, Germans, whatever it may be, and they all come together, Russians, in their little fantasy world when it comes to sports. They all come together. They fellowship. They hug each other's neck. They take their beer together and they live together and they have their money and their frolic and their class as in the world. and everything is just right. But when it comes to the church, they want to pounce on the church. The real, true, living God and the real church, as the scripture said when the prophet spoke, why have they gathered together as when they attacked the people of Pentecost and said, you can't preach in this name? Why have they come together? He said, is it not against my Christ? Was it against Peter? Was it against Paul? Or having done it to the least of these, when Paul said, I'm less than nothing, was it unto God? Isn't it against my Christ? Don't they magnify and elevate the church of their choice, of the things that they want to do and the places that they want to go? And doesn't the world love its own? And don't they love that church because it's of the world and that Christ is not in it? Saying, I stand and knock, and I'm at the heart's door. If they would let me, I would come in and sup with them. But as Solomon said, he's out in the night, and the dew drops of the night is in his locks. Or that is to say, in the midst of the mercy drops that are falling, as to those locks that represented the seven locks of Samson, as to the judgment, as to the government being upon his shoulders, and the mercy drops of God in those locks, he is shut out in your intellectual darkness and he can't come in. You have intellectually ruled him out. And as the songwriter said, your plans and scope of life is so well planned that he's left out of your plans altogether. And there was no room for him in the end. And what is the affair as to California and whatever? You're saying, I don't want religion. I'm tired of religion. I want to do my thing. This is my life. So God is fixing to take the body of Christ out and the light of the world out. And he's just going to withdraw, and the gross darkness of your intellectual ignorance is going to cover you, and you that are nothing more than reflectors won't be able to perfect even a bottle of medicine to stop the gnawing pain like a rat gnawing your entrails out. And you won't be able to do anything. And the light will be gone, and God will be looking back, and he'll say, you wanted the world. Now you have the world with all the gooey and with all the muck and with all the pain and with all the filth and all the death and all the sorrow and all the heartaches. You wanted the world, but you didn't want me. Now you have the world, and my children I'm taking home. And as the Pope said, glad his children was coming home. And the old leader with a number on his head, 666, is Vicaris Filii Dei, which means instead of God, or Vicar of Christ, as to the Bible said in the book of Revelation, and they that understand, let them read, this is the number of his name. He'll be coming to take his children through the old computerized system, and it's just right now. Everything is just right now. Troubles, perplexities, bewilderments, earthquakes, nation against nation, black, white, yellow, red, kingdom against kingdom. All of these things, the beginning of sorrows, the hour of temptation that he promised to keep us from. Confederation of one army, as Bush, when I said something about, and I can't get into this, we've been going too far to get into the present day revelation, other than stating a few things, which I had hoped this morning that we'd be able to pick up something that y'all have missed for a long time now and bring us to a present day status to show what's happening today for our sake. But I'm just speaking naturally of these things and making a little biblical comparison. But anyway, as to the man with the mark on his head now over here in America, over to the college, all these things, and the planes, Dura 666, as I said the other night, when I wanted to get into it, but I didn't feel any hunger and thirst. Whereas I do feel a little bit this morning, but it's too far down the trail since I've caught your interest, because our routine of religion in the world, you know, and it would take a while to, we've got the devils out, the minds of Satan is gone, everybody has synchronized, they've gone into the mind of Christ, they're ready to hear, and the ones that don't want to know, they're under the power and constraint of the Holy Spirit to where they can't do anything. And even though they would like to get out, and the belly's gnawing as the old serpent, to go eat and do these things, but they can't get loose because now the Spirit of the Lord has them. See, but at this point, it's too late according to your custom. The Bible said, render unto man according to his custom. Honor to whom honor is due. Custom to whom custom. And the custom is as to it's time for me to close. See, and right at the time that the Lord goes to speak. So, what do I say? What do I say? With Jimmy Carter, these are the things. The man with the mark on his head. A world army, who can make war with him? Mr. Bush brought it right in, just like Gorbachev wanted it. And we could say a lot of things, but if I did, I would go on into the revelation, because I can tell at this point that you want it. You're pulling, you want it. But I also know at this point that when I get into it, just about the time I get started, Satan is going to cause you carnal-minded people to start going every which way, to muddle it up and just get enough on film, enough on tape, to where it'll confuse people that hear it out yonder. And that's why I talk to the little groups away from here, sometimes all night, as I've done in the past. And though you might contest that and you might say, well, I want it. I know you want it. But many of you want it in your intellectual mind. That's all you're doing. You're just fuddled up and messing around and muddying up the water as the cattle. You don't have the Spirit of Christ. You're not in the Spirit of Christ. You could never receive this. You could never understand this. The wicked will not understand. You're just in a religious fervor. And it ain't worth 15 cents to you as to what it would do you for good. It'd be just more judgment and give you something else to fuddle up people's mind as you go out trying to explain something that you're not acquainted with when you don't even have any part or lot in the matter. So your very testimony, your very presence, your very conduct, the very atmosphere about you proves that you're not even Christ-like. So I still have to go according to the leading of the precious Holy Spirit. And I trust that we all can come to the truth till we all come into the unity of the faith, to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, and come to the full reward. And right here, I'd like to just stop. And I'd like to say I appreciate your undivided attention and just talking to you. We appreciate the fact that Mike come today. He brought his mother. I'm not sure where his mother's from. But I know that she's here. And I think maybe back over here somewhere. These lights are a little blind. Yeah, that's her right here. Could you stand up and tell the people your name? All right, how do you appreciate this sister being here with us? Also, we have Mike and his girlfriend or wife-to-be or something here. I say it in two or three ways so I don't get embarrassed and embarrass them, because sometimes I really don't know. But how many appreciate them being here? Matter of fact, it might always be his wife. I don't know. I just know that there's a young lady here with him this morning. I've not met her. I just met Mike. But anyway, we also have a couple that came last week, I believe it was, that Brother Denny McLean, friend of Denny and the wife, that come up from the southern part of Georgia. And we met them, and they're very fine people. They came and had a good spirit in our service last time, and they're back with a little family and having just as good a spirit this time. And it looks like they're enjoying the service. And we really appreciate them. And if you really do appreciate these people, do like they do in Texas when they get on their horses and they go out and rope them in and put the brand on them and keep them here. Let's give it all to them. All right. Someone would say, well, you can't do that, Brother Pike, because they belong to somebody else. Well, he must be strays because we're off up here. Let's stand together and let's sing a little course. You know, out in the West, they didn't have fences years ago. And if it was a stray, or if the multiplication as to whether it come from your cattle, his cattle, or their cattle, if there was out there, whoever got to them with a branding iron, that was their property. And as it has been said, and it really is like this, that, you know, we're not really concerned about the brand anyway, where it's a P brand or a B brand or a C brand. That's the Pentecostal, a Catholic, a Baptist. The thing that we are interested in as it is the government when they go to get their cattle, and that's the blood tag. If they got the blood tag and it's the right blood tag, well, that's fine. And if they're tagged with the right blood tag, then that's fine, because there's no remission of sin except by His blood. And if you're of His blood, everything's all right. You're not astray at all. You belong to His flock. He said, I have sheep that's not of this pasture. And someday, He said, I'll bring them all together and there'll be one shepherd. And even the chief shepherd will appear. And folks, something's on the scene. Let's sing a little chorus together. I appreciate you. Others are here. I was thinking that Brother Lynn Lundebo's son would be here this morning. Here he is right back here. He and his wife, he gave his heart to the Lord. And his wife is Brother Cantrell's daughter. She's, as far as I know, she's been trying to serve the Lord for years. And maybe the brother has, I don't know. I know he's brought up in it anyway. And I guess sometimes we just kind of claim them when they're brought up in it. But he told me that the Lord gloriously saved him and that he was going to be in church and serve the Lord. And evidently he's a man of his word because he's here this morning. Let's give all these people a hand. Sometimes I don't see you. You're out there and I don't see you, but we still love you. We still appreciate you. And with a light a little blinding, it's hard for me to distinguish things like I'd like to. And someone said, well, can't you see good? I can see all right. But like the Bible said, some of you being blinded by that light, you know, you might ought to put some eye save in your eyes too. You can see me better. Somebody says, I see you. I wonder if you really do. Let's sing a chorus together. Let's sing, I love Him. I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. You know, it really warmed my heart to see different ones come in. I saw another one of Brother Londebo's sons. He turned the corner. I hadn't seen him up there, but he's here also. And I look out there and I see my little grandbaby sitting in my wife's lap. She's a sweet little old thing. And of course, she thinks she's sweet too, especially to her papa, she said. But she is, and as a matter of fact, it comes across my mind of what the singer said. He saw his first little grandbaby. What was his name? The one that heard our sermon on the glass slipper. Who?
Pat Boone.
Pat Boone. He was. Published a little article in the paper how thrilled he was over his grandbaby. And all these are treasures, you know. Like I say sometimes, some people they call their, well, how can I say it? They say he's my grandpa. And of course, some people really are nothing but gramps, you know. But then there are they that have grandfathers. And apostle is the father in the gospel I've begotten you. So don't get all disturbed. I know what the scripture says. But anyway, it's one thing to be a father. It's another to be a father that's grand. And I like that. Let's give a little. So we can be, as to our heavenly Father, He is. Somebody said He doesn't have any grandchildren. All of His children are grand. I don't know whether He ever got that. And besides that, He is a grandfather. He is the grandest Father I know of. And He is heavenly. He is wonderful. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. He is the chief of the tribe. Let's give the Lord another. So, in loving the Lord, walking on with the Lord, you're His precious children. And folks, you don't realize how precious He is. Like last night, they brought a little one to me. One of our little black sisters brought a little child over to me, and they asked me to pray for it. And it was sprawled out, kind of all like, you know, they're so pitiful. I don't have a lot of life in them, just a little tiny measure of life. And I looked at it, as I do when I pray for people, and I was looking, and as I looked at it, I thought, now that precious little thing, here Satan is trying to afflict the little fella, take his life out. The Bible said that children are an heritage from the Lord. They're like arrows in a quiver, and blessed is the man that hath his full. And of course today we've got small quivers, you know, and you can't handle just a girl and a boy, and sometimes you don't get around to that. But back years ago with 16 and 18 and 20 in the family, you know, and when a girl would go to get married, they'd say, God bless you, my sister, may there be a troop that comes forth from you. And of course, back then, people liked troops, because the more brothers and sisters you had, the less the neighbors jumped on you. And that's the way that they always figured it. And that's the way it worked. But anyway, it's kind of a different day that we're living in. I'm praying for the little child. As I looked at it, I thought, now, Lord, you love that little one so much, so precious to you. You know, and you love it so much, and you just want so much to see it be happy and to play. And you hate this disease, and you hate evil to the extent that you gave your own life to do away with these sorrows and heartaches and woes and oppression and problems and sicknesses and poverty and all these things that hamper the life of the people. And I looked and I thought, now Satan, you know, you don't have any right to that baby, and you're not going to be able to stay there. Because the love of God's too great. And He's wanting to do something for that baby, and He's just waiting for a channel so the hydrogen can be turned on and the water can flow. And just prayed for the little fellow, and immediately I felt the Lord heal him. Went on out to the trailer, and I was there in a little motorhome, and here come the little sister again with the little baby. And he was set up, and man, he was just like a morning glory, and he was sucking on that pacifier just to go on and come. And that's the way you are in the sight of the Lord. He loves you. The Bible said He pities you. He looks down and pities you like a mother with her little child. And with all of your problems, you know, the little sore finger and the little splinter in the toe and whatever. And He's just waiting, longing to love you and pick you up in His arms and help you with all of your problems. See, every good and perfect gift comes from God. And He is the Father of lights, and the wisdom He gives, and the health. And He wants you to be radiant and full, to seek the kingdom, to get faith so you can have all these other things. For He's given you all things that pertain unto life. And He loves you so very much that He gave His blood for you and redeemed you with His own blood. Well, anyway, let's sing another little chorus together. A lot of things we could say about that. That's sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul. And someone would say, well, how much does He love me, Brother Pike? With all of His heart, with all of His strength, with all of His might. He said, I love you so much, I give myself to you, that whatever I am, that's what you are. You're from my very loins. You're God's. No one can lay anything to your charge. You have a good understanding. I've made known all things to you. My blessing makes you rich and adds no sorrow. It makes you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I've made all of your beds in the time of your sickness. I'm the Lord God that heals you, all of your diseases, and forgives all of your iniquities. That you, I have perfected forever, and I've justified and sanctified and glorified, and I've hid you with Christ to where nothing can touch you, for you keep yourself as to the power of this Christ within you is greater than Satan, the God that's in this world. And the mighty conqueror is within you, and you're interwoven with him. And you are light, and darkness can't come near your dwelling. You keep yourself in the evil one, touch you not. For you are my beloved, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. You're my virgin, and you're my wife. You're my darling children. You're bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And we that have wives and children, we don't understand spiritually. But when we get into the Spirit, understand the Spirit. My, how beautiful a wife is, how beautiful children are. Not as to the sinful, adulterous harlotry of the world where Satan is mutilating bodies, dishonoring bodies, and as the woman I heard about yesterday, they ravished and they killed her. Not as to these hungry, thirsty devils that are beasts that have no control over themselves, appetites or passions, gullible desires of whatever, and that Satan within them seeks to project an image as to attract, as to make them attractive, that lust might live, but rather love that produces and reproduces as to the beauty of the undefiled, as to the marriage and the bed of the marriage, undefiled in all, but the homemonger God will judge, the harlot God will judge, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, all that's of the world. It's the footstool and it's passing away. For the earth must be purged and being on fire, even the heavens, as to the heaven that now is. There's the second heaven that must come down, defiled by Lucifer. The stars falling from heaven, the moon turning into blood, and the sun sevenfold, as to heat to burn and scorch them upon the earth, and the abyss open up as it is right now, and those evil locusts, as to those demons coming out of the bottomless pit, the great gulf that was between the rich man and Lazarus, wandering in the dry places as the heat from those burning flames, seeking rest and can't find it, as seeking the waters of life, as to which he had reference, one drop of water. And we that by the washing of regeneration, being in now a new generation, not of the generation of Adam as in Adam all died, but in Jesus as to the generation of Christ, where is all that's made alive. And being on this side of Calvary, my, somebody says, and when we all get to heaven, and they sing the song, when we all get to heaven, what a time of rejoicing that will be. And I agree with it, and I wholeheartedly invite you up here through this door that's open to we that dwell in heaven, because we rejoice forevermore. And what a time of rejoicing this is. Even the angels in heaven rejoicing as we watch, and one soul coming to repentance rather than 99 just that's already sealed in that needs no repentance. So it's wonderful. There's a door open in heaven. The law and the prophets until John, since that time the kingdom is here. It's being preached. There's a door open. And now Jesus is saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the door, and the sheep can go in by me. And since this door is open, and if you can find out what spiritual things mean, then you can have a wonderful time. But while you're feasting, there are those that feast with you with eyes of adultery that cannot cease from sin, that beguile unstable souls, and they that promise them liberty while they themselves are the children of bondage, being a bond child and held in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world because their labor is for their belly, and the human senses have them grounded like a spider as to the web. And the old bond child always mocking the free child. But we that are free from the flesh, we left all those things behind us with Calvary. To reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and the world, to come out from the world, to be hid with Christ in heaven, that you may rejoice forevermore, ye that are in heaven. Through perfection, through perfectness, through sanctification of the Spirit, through the wonderfulness of God, to be God's one of you unveiled in the natural sunlight will never shine again. Do you realize that? Someone would say, well, I doubt that. Well, it's the fact that when Jesus was unveiled as to the natural man and sat at the right hand of the Father, the sun never shines again where he's at. And into that beautiful city, it'll have no need for the sun. For the Lamb is the light thereof, and her light, as to the bride part, is most precious. Even as he stood on the mountain in the glorification, for he hath not only sanctified, saved, perfected, forever justified, but he hath glorified you. And this wonderful heavenly treasure that's in your earthen vessel, and this glory that is to be revealed, as to this wonderful illumination that was lost in the fall, which is called the image of God, as to the Christ. When the Father said, as to Jesus, come, let us make ourselves an image, and I'll let you be the head of it. We'll make it all in your image as to the membership. And when that Son of God image lifted as to the illumination, it went into its negative condition, which we'd like to say something about, maybe would tonight. And then there came a Calvary, and there came a positive. And that glory, that Shekinah glory, the covering of my glory, they cover with the glory, but not of me, for they fell to an earthly attire, into the glitter of the world and the glamour, and there is a glory of the world, for there is a glory of one star and then another. A woman's glory and a man's glory, and then there's God's glory. And they cover with the glory, but it's not my glory, for he put them on skins and clothed them. But the covering of my glory, back to the covering cherubs, and as to the return, as to the first man Adam, and yet not Adam, as to the natural, which was the beginning of the trouble, the head of the old serpent, the sinful one, as an Adam all die, all flesh had corrupted its way. But as to the illumination of that glory that was taken away, which was lost in the fall, even that Christ that came hidden within that garment and then unveiled it, in that the woman had swallowed up the husband, like the old black widow, and she was without a leader, because in Adam all die, even Adam. But when Jesus came, all are made alive, even in a head that is now alive. And the male is no longer there, because in the fullness of the time, the Bible said, he sent forth his son made of a woman, and from the woman came the son, because the woman had swallowed up the son, and yet not her, but Satan within her flesh. As to Adam falling from the male perspective to the feminine perspective, as to say, great is the mystery of God, and then we call it a woman's world, as to be able to differentiate between what I'm saying, as to a compact thing, is to understand, because I said the spirit of revelation is here to speak. We're having to close. But nevertheless, this is where we're at today. See, and we are in another generation, even the Lord Jesus, the second man, Adam, and that Shekinah image has come. But as it was in Jesus, so is it within you, and yet to be revealed. And as Paul said, and the thing that are of this world are not to be compared. They're beggarly elements of the world, and none not to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed within you as the beloved sons of God. As to that hope when he comes, and that Shekinah, as to the magnet and the things that are relative to it when it moves over as Jesus, and when that head comes and every member that is relative to him by that Spirit, as to that life and all joined us, one baptized into another, as to one Christ, one head, one bodily member, as they will be caught together from within, which has been hid so that Satan can't touch it, will break forth, and the little clay pitcher will be broken, and them that are accustomed to the darkness in the valley will be blinded by the great light, and they will have riots in California and riots in Atlanta. And they will fight as beasts with beasts, and as it was in the days of Gideon, because of the brightness of the light, and they cannot find their way anymore, their scholarship and their great education and money and position and sports and all the fame and popularity, it doesn't prevail. They're beasts, and they fight with one another, and they divide one another. And Gideon and his people won the battle. And like Mr. Reagan said, you can burn them at the stakes, said you've done all kind of things to them, as President Reagan said, and you can do whatever you want to with them, said, but this is within their heart and instilled within the heart, and said, I tell you, in the end, they'll win out over you. And so it is. That's the way it is. Somebody said, where then is the end? Jesus said, I'm the beginning and I'm the end. I'm the Alpha and Omega. I am the author and the finish of your faith. And he said, Father, it is finished. So he did it all. He did it all. All to him I owe. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, Lord. I surrender. I surrender all. Let's sing in a little chorus together, can we? The altars are open while we sing. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. I thought about little Misty coming. You know, she usually comes first as a rule. And most of the time, if the others don't come, it makes no difference to Misty. She's coming. And I remember when she come up, got the first or second night. And I thought this is really something. The true Jew, the Misty, the catching away, the bride, and how a little child shall lead them. Richard's name means king of all. And being a Jew here among us, people pay no attention to Richard as far as they're concerned. You know, they don't understand. But then great revenue of thought is there and great things is taking place. And a lot of times, as the Bible said, the stone rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. And what is this but the doings of the Lord, and this is marvelous in our eyes? The cornerstone come and grind, grace, 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 as it was said of the prophet. And so Jesus came and grace came. And then when he came, as to everything having been finished down through the Testament, as to fulfill all that was required of Moses to enter in, then the great stone of the great pyramid city set down upon the lively stones as to Malachi to remember as to make up the jewels. And then the Lord smote it. We esteem him smitten of God, and yet the smiting was so beautiful because it was the great light that struck the stone. It struck the cornerstone as to a prism. And the refraction, and all of a sudden, beautiful conglomeration of that divided asunder as to a sectional thing at Calvary, and that is a dividing asunder, and that is a severing, and the seven lights, not as to a fivefold ministry, we say, of apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, but a sevenfold ministry that brings in the woman also. And to the hips and to the governments. The hips and the governments plus the vine. And the deacons and whatever. The heifers, the musicians. So the light spanning out is that rainbow from Calvary and the door opening and the veil being rent, the matric opening, the child born. And there at Calvary, hearing the groaning of the prisoners and them that were appointed unto death, and then they accepted, succored them. And the Bible said, and God let them go, and death hath no more dominion. For he sent Jesus to deliver them that was under the law, because under the law they could not be made perfect without us. For these, having died in the faith, confessing that they were pilgrims, as it was with Abraham, and seeing afar off and going, but making their confession that they were of another world. Then all of a sudden, he came to deliver them. But they without us could not be made perfect under the law. As it was said of Daniel, thou shalt rest in thy lot. But when he, as to whom the promise was made, even the promised son, as to the Isaac of God, and then when he came into the perfection that was given to us, in that the head had come back to the wife and redeemed the body as it was to the feminine part, as we say, the woman's world. But today, things are falling in place. There is a redemption of the body, which is the purchased possession. And as to the Jew, the redemption of the body, it is by adoption. And it must be by the law, because the body does parallel with the Jew, and there is no redemption of the body unless there is a Jew, because if there's no Jew, there's no law. For without the Jew, the law is folded up and laid away. But when the Jew comes to be the head of the nations, as I've said before, all nations will be judged as sheep, goat, and goat nations, to divide asunder, and they will judge them according to what they've done to them while they were astray, wandering across the world in the way that they mistreated them. And every nation will answer to the Jews for perverting the law. For there's no law except God's law, and all of your law comes from God's law is to the Jew, and they've perverted, they've inserted, they've changed it around. They've done what they wanted to make their own nation, their own law, their own religion. But when the Jews come, there'll be one God, one faith, just one. There'll be one baptism. There'll be just one preeminent nation. As to all that is in the earth, will only be memberships of that head, which is the Jewish nation. Just one nation. And there will be one control as to the Jewish mind. And only you and I, who are the life and spirit of that body, even as your life and angelic being controls your body, we alone as the spiritual Jew will control the Jew and be their thoughts. For he will put them at the head of the nation after the 7 years of purging. And they'll be subject to him in every thought. And we as one to being him will control and rule with a rod of iron through them and break the nations like one would break pottery. Oh, that is, with this wonderful word of wisdom and God-given understanding, we'll break their traditional ways of life. We'll break their educational system. We'll smite the head of the old serpent. We'll redeem that as to the life that belongs to God to confiscate. And we'll break all of their silly, evil practices as to sports and all of the foolishness of this entwined web of darkness and all of the intellectual powers as to their magistrates throughout the land to correct them and bring them back to the right way of life. And once we bring it all in as to the restoration and the restoring of all the lost species, moving these crazy wild hunters that don't do nothing but kill, as the paper stated when we was out west, that they killed so much it looked like that everything was going to become extinct out there. They were killing deer and elk and all these other things. Well, they're wild, crazy doing as the spirit of Lucifer. Their frolic in the flesh. See, it will stop all of that. And then, as to the grand jury, it'll be a different thing. It won't be the local jury and the local boycott. And as to the Supreme Court, which is represented now as Thomas went in, as gross darkness covering the people, and as the black man, so many of them going into the law, but the Jew is returning to take over the law, as to one symbol of the black man, the other is the symbol of darkness and demon spirits taking over the law to bring the people under bondage, to beat their brains out and to bring them to a horrible, hideous thing like I saw in the vision the other night when they were killing babies and slicing them up and frying them. All these horrible, hideous things as to many things that I went through in this. And when I come out on the other side to look back, and they were frantic because I escaped them and they were trying to get a hold of me saying, come back, you're part of us. You're supposed to be here. So there's twain, as Jesus made himself twain, so the black man twain, so the white man twain, so the yellow man twain, so the red man twain. Flesh and the spirit and the continual warfare. So we see that the things that are happening, we don't want to be a part of it. In Christ, there's neither male nor female, there's neither Greek nor Jew, there's neither black man or white man, there's neither red man or yellow man, but we're all the children of light. God is light. God is not a black man. God is not a white man. The Bible said God is not man, period, that he should repent. God is a spirit. God is not a woman, as somebody has tried to make God to be a woman, right in the book, saying that she got a revelation that God was a woman. God doesn't favor any of you. He favors his children. He loves his children. Somebody would say, well, I think he favors humanity because look at all the grace he gave. He gave them grace for one reason. Somebody said, that's because he loved them. Oh, no. He's angry with the wicked every day. He said, I'll pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. He said, your carnal mind, just as your natural desire of world and vanity, he said, it is at enmity with me. And he said, you are the children of the devil with the love of the world, and yes, to this vanity, which is not the world I created, but as to a reflection, and it will pass away. And as to the image, that will pass away. When the great light appears, and even the earth vanishes away, and that great light is beginning to appear. So, who does he love? I am angry with the wicked every day. But he said, concerning the children of God, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Though a mother forsake her suckling, I've engraved you in the palms of my hand as to Calvary. I'll never forget you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Even as the angel of the Lord spoke to me, even as Christ spoke to me, and the angel of the Lord coming to me in Miami, Florida, when he put the ring of my birth on my finger. So we know then that something is happening. And we know that God is doing something. You know, I used to love to wear a ring on my finger. I always had a ring with a little diamond in the middle and two rubies. And I always liked a chain that I had around my neck. Not as the golden chain as they wear today, but wore one. You know, sometimes I used to carry a little cross, a little chain that they always kept hid. It was hanging in here, it was hid. And then a bracelet on the arm and a nice, beautiful watch. I always had a beautiful watch. And the Lord let that finger get crushed in trying to help somebody one day. He's messing around in the car. There's a black man that's trying to help, I believe it was. And something happened, it come down on that ring and it crushed it, and I was in agony. And I couldn't get that thing off, and I had nothing to get it off with. And he taught me a good lesson. But anyway, I kind of got leery of wearing a ring. And I found out why, because when the Lord came to me, if there had been a ring on this finger, so the world had been in the way. And when he put his ring on there, that's still on there tonight, or today that you can't see, the stone of my birth, as the stones of the birth of the children of Israel, as the Urim and the Thummim, as to the shoulders of the breastplate, and as the foundations of that city. But anyway, I never had one to wear a ring. I never had one to wear a ring. Someone said, well, you need the ring, Brother Pike. When I was young, you know, that's what they say, so that people will know you're married. I said, if my wife and I don't have enough of what it takes as being godly to be a real man and a woman and a lady and a gentleman, and it takes a ring to show them, I said, we ain't got nothing. We don't need the ring. I said, because a ring don't prove nothing. Like somebody says, I've got a ring. They said, I know that means you keep secrets. And so they went right on with their fathers. But I've never asked her to wear a ring. It happened to her in such a way that as a young man, I got her a ring. I got her two rings. I got the prettiest rings I could afford and find. And then she got me upset because she didn't want to do like I wanted to do. So I said, well, I'll get rid of the rings. So I got rid of the rings and I never did get her no more rings. She didn't have any rings. And yes, she has all kind of rings, even as to a great revelational thing concerning Brother Branham and some things that we could say is a ring. As far as I know, nobody else has. Not even Sister Mitty had it. But let's lift our hands up and close our eyes, because as the songwriter said, we could go on and on talking about this good old way, talking about the wonderful things of God. And all I did this morning is just fellowship a little bit and talk with you, whereas I appreciate your fellowship. Abraham was called the friend of God. And God just went right down there in a human body. He sat down and eat with Abraham, and they walked around and looked things over and went down to the seat of Gomorrah and had a talk. And somebody said, well, that wasn't God. Well, if he wasn't God, why did Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Evidently, he must have been God. But yet he was a human being. And as I said, the opening of the bottomless pits is of those things in California. Spirits have to have bodies. They have to have bodies. The light is beginning to show, and that's why they're having problems, folks. You just let your little light shine, as Brother Taylor said, and let pure and undefiled religion be that you're willing to forsake all. For this is pure and undefiled religion, that you forsake all for God.
that you feed the orphans and the widows, and you visit them in their afflictions, and then you keep yourself unspotted from the world. That is salvation. And all of these other people that are so busy keeping everything they got and taking everything they got, including their time, don't you ever worry about them as they have their penny march and drop their pennies in. Don't you ever do it, because they're not going anywhere. They don't have anything. They aren't anything. They'll never be anything. They've got their reward, just like the rich man had it. But as in the early church, when they took the spoiling of their goods to give all things that they had, and rather than trying to play the little widow that had the penny march, rather than that, these people actually gave all that they had, which was their living. And God never let the meal barrel nor the crucible fail. And Jesus said as to the little widow at the temple, she's given more than all of them. She's given her living. These others cast in out of their abundance. And sad to say, they don't even share even out of their abundance. And glad to say that we don't want nothing out of their abundance, and we don't want nothing they've got, because their very offering is abomination in our sight and in God's sight. And the offering of the wicked is abomination in God's sight. Where there's no travail, where there's no repentance, where there's no remorse, where there's no love, where there's no consideration, they are an abomination. Their prayers are abomination. They're like the waves of the sea that's ever casting their mire upon the bank. There's no peace to the wicked. And God said, I don't want their offering. So we don't solicit for it. We don't peddle for it. We don't sell things, and we don't go through gimmicks for it. Try to build a great empire that'll fall. We just go by faith, and the Lord meets his needs and he takes care of it. Like a woman said to Winfrey in the last day or two, a money woman and a woman that's in the charge of a big operation said, there's one thing I don't understand about Bethlehem. I can't figure out where they get their money. She spoke of her church and as to what they had to do to come up with their money. Said, and I don't see how that operation goes on year after year. And they do these things and they travel all over the world. So I can't figure this thing out. And you know what? They'll never do it. You know why they won't? Because the Bible says, the wicked shall not understand. And when good cometh, the wicked shall not see it. For Lucifer, even the god of this world, having blinded their eyes, they can't see. They can't comprehend this light that shines in the midst of this intellectual world of darkness. But you can comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width of this great thing. And because you comprehend it, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. As you comprehend, then that means that you become a god. You're no longer as to a human being and a living soul that can perish. But because of your mind, your comprehending, you become a god. As to a dentist mind, then you're a dentist. As to a mechanic mind, then now you're a mechanic. As to think that you're something when you're not, you deceive yourself. As to try to believe that you're something when you're not, you deceive yourself. But when you have the mind of Christ, then as he is, so are you. For if he is Christ, so are ye Christ. And Paul said, and it's not me living, but Christ that liveth. And the life I now live, as to the inner man, I live by Christ, and I am born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And if he is God, so are ye God. Let's lift up our hands and let's sing this little chorus together as we try to close. Thy will praise him. Thy will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and I'll give him glory, all ye people, for his blood is washed away. Can you sing that with me one more time? and I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb. I'm going to ask Brother Pat Nichols, if he will, to come up and dismiss us. And I'll give Him glory all ye people, for His blood that's washed away. Can you sing this one more time together? And I will praise.